Thank you everyone for being here. I appreciate it. Our first meeting of the year, exciting. Actually a little bit of rain today, which is wonderful. Thank you for being at the Trails Management Subcommittee. This is our January 20th, 2021 meeting. Almost said 2020 again. And
please
we
don't.
Have, please, yeah, I won't curse us that way. We have a few things to cover. Last time we met was in November. So unfortunately, this is, seems to be the first major rainfall that we've had. Well, I don't even know if it's major down there, but it seems to be a little bit colder and rainier up here. So up in the high levels, which is hopeful, at least for some of our wildlife. And I guess we should go around and introduce ourselves. I'm Kathleen Brundage. I'm with the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission and the program manager for the CVMS HCP. Jane, why don't you start?
Yep, I'm Jane Garrison. I'm with Oswiat Land Trust, formerly Save Oswiat Canyon.
Hey. And I guess I'm next. Rich Jarvinen with City of Indio, but also Des Trails Coalition and hiking clubs and so forth.
Amy? Sorry, I'm not in the same order, so I didn't know how you knew you're next. But I'm Amy, I'm with Bighorn Institute, so.
I'm Jeff Smith, La Quinta.
I'm Gordon Fiddler from the Friends of the Desert Mountains.
I'm Jim Karpiak with the Coachella Valley Mountains Conservancy.
And I can't tell the order, so I'll just jump in. I'm Doug Evans with Desert Riders and Desert Trails Coalition.
Y'all are doing great so far. Alicia.
Hi, I'm Alicia Thomas. I'm with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in the Palm Springs Field Office. Janice won't be doing this today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Welcome, Alicia. I'm Joan Taylor with various organizations, but basically at large member of this committee.
Dr. Longshore.
I'm Kathy Longshore with the U.S. Geologic Survey, and I am working on the trail research project.
Danny?
Good afternoon. Danny Ortiz with the Bureau of Land Management and manager for the Santa Rosa and San Jacinto Mountains National Monument.
Peter.
I'm Peter Satin with the Coachella Valley Association of Governments / Coachella Valley Conservation Commission.
And Scott.
I am Scott Collins. I'm a volunteer trail ranger in Palm Springs.
Wonderful. Thank you all for being here. And is there any announcements or concerns that we want to bring up before I get on to our Long Canyon Trailhead?
Trying to talk on mute. Joan here. I have a very important meeting about the RECP, this plan that Trump is trying to undo at the last minute. So it starts at 2:00. I'm chairing it. So I'll just be here for half an hour.
Okay, Joan, do you want me to move your, did you want to talk about dog ordinances first then before we go into Long Canyon or?
If that works.
Like, yeah.
If that works, I don't have too much to report. Jane has been doing more than I and has been helping out with various issues. We still have a shortage of signs in the Palm Springs area.
So I provided Palm Springs with about, it's 10 signs. Did you guys need more?
I don't know, but they're it's hard to get them from him.
I see.
Yeah. Doug, you know more about that than I. And Andy Hollinger was going to be on, I thought.
We talked about, just to give you guys an update, you know that we got the city, I got the city of Palm Springs to pass a dog ordinance finally. And we're actually, getting that enforced on a daily basis. We got about, I think it was about 6 signs from the city that the city got from you. And we have better and bigger and more prominent signs in Oswiat and both sides of the Licken Trail. And Scott Collins, who's on this, you know, he says volunteer ranger. I mean, he is a hero for enforcing dogs on the trails, because he deals with the people who don't want to hear about it. And he's out there every single day and helping educate. And we would say that we have seen a reduction. I mean, Scott can probably confirm this, but I would say we've seen a reduction of like 80 to 90% of dogs on the South Palm Springs trails because of our efforts. We have little informational cards that we give to people. We've given them to lots of volunteers to share when they see someone with a dog. And Scott is at the trailheads pretty much every day.
I'm actually taking the call from the Oswit trailhead right now. I was just up on the trail and encountered two dogs. Both people were aware that dogs were not allowed, but both parties proceeded to go hiking regardless. One lady, she was leaving town in a few days and wanted to get one last hike in, and another group who just didn't seem to care. And unfortunately, there were a group of rams nearby, big horn sheep, and they saw the dogs, and the dogs as well saw the sheep.
It's an ongoing problem. Yeah.
It's an ongoing problem, but yes, we have seen a huge reduction, but there are still those who, even though seeing the signs, they're going to still go against it.
What's the deal with enforcement?
We need enforcement.
Yeah.
So, yes, enforcement.
Yeah, we've been talking. Scott has actually a great relationship with animal control. He has called them several times. We have a few repeat offenders who come out, you know, several times a week with their off-leash dogs, and they don't care. And animal control has only warned them. So we're hoping that they actually start giving tickets.
It's animal control, not code enforcement.
We've been dealing with animal control in Palm Springs. They said that they could give a ticket, but they don't. They've just been giving warnings.
Maybe it's a subject for, you know, lobbying the city, but we're getting in the weeds, but you all are doing great work, but we haven't gotten any signs on the, what would that be? The east side of Palm Canyon. We've been unable to get signs to replace those that have been taken down.
Could I make a suggestion on the signs? Don't give them to the city.
Yeah.
No, it's not a criticism of the city. It's a reality of the distractions that the staff has to deal with every day. And, you know, currently I'm not sure who's in the office and who's not in the office, who's at home, who's not at home. This group and all of the groups can move so much faster if we don't have to work through an agency. If the signs have been approved, let's get them out to the people that need them. So Kathleen, if there are more signs and you can release them to one of the groups, you know, the Friends, you know, we probably could be more effective. I mean, Andy's given up on me getting signs, and I'm remiss in not getting back to the city to try to get them, but it is more cumbersome than it probably needs to be.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Patrick in the city is great, but he is not in there every day. And Kathleen, I'm happy to send someone down to pick up signs and distribute them in Palm Springs. Scott and Mark Kendrick, hung the other signs. They even put a pole with concrete in the ground to make it in a more prominent spot. So I'm happy to do that and send someone to pick them up if that helps.
Sure. If you're positive that where they're going is, that those signs would be effective, then it sounds like it's probably the easiest way. Because I did give 10 signs to Patrick, and it sounds like you guys only got 6. So
I think it was 6.
Yeah. So he's got some extra in there, but he did mention there were other places, maybe it was east of Palm Canyon, he was saying that there needed to be signs replaced. And I don't know if it's just having their city workers go out and do it and with other burdens. I don't know. So certainly I'm happy to order more and get them out to you as fast as possible.
May I ask a question? Are we talking in this case about land that is within
Palm Springs city limits.
Yes.
So this is so that code enforcement and animal control from the city can cite people there. Our problem in La Quinta is that once they cross the berm, the city of La Quinta no longer has jurisdiction, and then it becomes a bit more problematic. And I'll have to say, we are getting swamped. There are huge numbers of people out, especially on the weekends. And I assume their dogs are with them as well. But once they go over that berm and get into the actual monument, the city's ability to do anything about it is just about finished.
Can I say something about this?
It's a reality we face.
That's actually one of the reasons I'm attending today is I was hiking Saturday after sheep and I noticed people far to the north with dogs way out in the backcountry in La Quinta, south of Bear Creek Preserve, north of Bear Creek, you know, Trail Oasis and all that. But I don't know if there's signs. I don't know where the enforcement is, but obviously I'm sure you all know La Quinta's rampant with dog hikers and all that. And I know the whole berm thing and there's been good signs in that area, like you say, but I don't know what's happening north of there, if anything, or any other areas where there's so much free play in the Cove to Lake Trail, all that kind of stuff.
Well, the
problem is that as far as the city-owned property, they can put both code enforcement and animal control to work, but the hikers know that once they step onto the actual monument land, they can, there's no one enforcing the no dog ordinance or the no dog requirement, and they know that they can, and I've often seen them, I know Gordon you have too, they just take their dogs off leash and let them run. And of course we're only supposed to be being visited by essential workers right now, but damn, there's a lot of essential workers and they're out and a lot of them, and it's a difficult situation. The city has committed to working within their own territory, and they have talked about warning people about going onto the preserve land, but that's about the extent of what they can do.
So this is, I hate to be a downer, monument. But so I thought, because I know some of this stems with, we had our former ranger, Wes Miller, retired earlier in 2020. So I have good news to bring to that regard is that we do now have a permanent law enforcement ranger that started as of yesterday, that will be working specifically for the monument. And he is well aware of our dogs on trail issues and some other things that have come up since we've been in the pandemic situation with people kind of using and abusing public lands.
Andy, so, what's his name?
Yeah, Danny.
His name is TJ Freend. And again, he will be just for the monument. He is with the BLM and he's just getting some onboarding stuff this week. But he is familiar with some of our trails. He's already been out hiking before he took the position. So I know I've chatted with him and we'll be briefing him more early next week once he gets through some of his initial onboarding stuff.
Could you spell that last name, please?
It's F-R-I-E-N-D. So it's like friends, but it's pronounced friend.
Okay.
And Danny, it would be great if you can share his contact information with this group. So if we ever need to reach him, it would be really helpful.
Yeah, I can do that. I'll make sure he's okay with that. But yeah, that should be fine. I know he's going to be very big with contact citations.
Okay, good.
He's already reviewing stuff with the trails plan and some of the stuff with the monument resource management plan. So he's kind of coming up to speed on some of our background and history for where he can cite and cite with regulations.
Yeah, and we wouldn't overwhelm him, but we definitely would want him, like, you know, we had some guy chasing sheep with a drone that who Scott encountered. And so it would be great to have, you know, the proper person to contact.
Okay, no, I'll definitely be sharing that. And then I also do know, I just saw an email today from one of my Forest Service staff that's also able to write incident reports and citations. And he's trying to see with working with our law enforcement if he can get some of those privileges extended to him with some of the work he does in the monument, because he's also reported things to me with people with dogs on trails and telling him in uniform that they just don't care.
Danny, so, what's the fine for having dogs on the monument?
Yes.
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I would have to ask TJ that with finding out, but I'm not aware of what that fine would be at this time.
When you find out, could you just let us all know? Because I think we can definitely use that with the trail ambassadors. Because trail ambassadors, we've got about 30 trail ambassadors from Friends of the Desert Mountains out on trails right now. And if they know that there's, once they people hit BLM property with dogs, that this is the fine that you're going to be getting, that goes a long way to communication.
And there's also potential harassment of an endangered species, which can get pretty punitive. So,
contact stuff so you guys will be aware with him. He should be out probably within early next week, starting to officially patrol and hit the trails and start looking to contact people and let them know that dogs are not allowed.
I'm wondering if there could be some sort of publicity. I think an article in the paper or something on the local television stations to let the public at large know that it's no longer possible to get a free pass once you get onto monument land with your dog. I don't know whose responsibility. I'm thinking I need to inform the employees of the city of La Quinta that they're going to be getting some help here. But getting the word out to the public, I think, would be pretty important.
You know what would put the word out real quick?
One ticket.
Just a few tickets.
Yeah. One ticket.
Tickets.
One ticket.
If once those tickets start heading out there, the word's going to get around. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that are just, you know, in La La Land. They don't know what's going on, but if people, the regular scofflaws start getting just a few tickets, the word's going to get around.
Gordon, are you volunteering? Are you volunteering with your dog, Puffy?
Big one for the team. I also want to let you guys know one of the other things that we did besides doing a lot of education is we reached out to a lot of the hiking apps like All Trails and notified them where they had it wrong, where they said dogs were allowed. You know, you put in dog friendly trails and, you know, the Lincoln Trail comes up and Oswick was coming up. All these trails were coming up as dog friendly. So we reached out to them. Most of them have been corrected. And we also did a couple of reviews saying that, you know, if you hike on this trail with a dog, you're going to get a ticket. So we did put that in under a bunch of reviews.
Well, I think my report's been done for me. One of these days we will have a meeting, but it's been quite crazy with the, you know, the end of this administration throwing a lot of stuff at us.
So I thank you all for your wonderful work that you've been doing. Jane, just to add on to that, I know Colin had done quite a bit of work going into all of the different apps and trying to get them to remove certain places. And that certainly is something that we have to keep an eye on because it's continual. Like people will add, oh, this is a great place to take my dog. And then all of a sudden you have 20 more reviews that say it's a great place to go with your dog. And so that's something we all need to keep an eye on. If you're on All Trails or any other hiking app and you see something like that, shoot us an email, let us know, because I'm on there and others are on there and we're trying to keep track of that. So
great point. Thank you. We'll watch out for it as well.
Or even Google. Google has you can see the little trail folks everywhere. And we've done quite a bit of trying to communicate with them to get them to take down social trails that are not authorized trails in certain areas. So, and they go up into bighorn habitat. So
I recently went around to all the trailheads in Palm Springs and took pictures of the no dog signs and posted those on to the Google Maps for each specific trailhead And so I know I've gotten those pictures have received a lot of views. You get little weekly updates and a lot of people have seen that. So that helps as well.
Excellent. Thank you.
Can you see why I love this guy? I mean, seriously, amazing, Scott, and takes the best pictures I've ever seen of wildlife. So thank you. And I know you've assisted Amy quite a bit too. So you're amazing, Scott.
Thanks, Jane. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much for your report.
So Katie, Danny, if you can to add to that too, is that I know we get a lot of stuff with people referencing a lot of these external hiking resources when they come to the Valley. So one of the projects I have Monument staff working on with so many staff teleworking right now is they are compiling a new Venza map profile for some of the hiking areas for the designated trails in the Monument. So using stuff that we had with the map, we're kind of breaking it down by sections. And we're hoping to really promote that once we get going with that, starting with the City of Palm Desert region, some of the trails there, and kind of using that as the official resource to steer people to kind of hopefully eliminate some of these other resources that kind of promote other non-official trails in the Monument. So that's something we're hoping to have up in the next few months, at least the first set of Avenza maps. For people to download and use that way in the future.
Danny, before Jim Foote left, he, in some conversations he had with Desert Trails Coalition, had some comments about the Goat Trails area and whether or not the Goat Trails area could be opened up for dogs as an alternative place where, you know, it's tough to say to everybody, your dogs aren't allowed up here, but if you can say your dogs aren't allowed here, but you can go there, it kind of helps with the messaging. Jim was thinking about the Goat Trails area. Is that something that would be considered today as something that's viable?
Nope. Not at this time, probably. I know anything with doing that, you know, I know for the trails plan, at least for the federal lands, we haven't issued a final decision for our purview of the trails plan as it applies to federal lands. So that's something I know eventually I'll be looking into, seeing where it lands with some of our other plan amendments and new plans that we need to put in place. But at this time, we keep things as they are with not changing anything that kind of isn't already covered in there from kind of adapting is what we've been continuing to do with that language.
You know, the original intent of the trail plan was to, if any new trails got built, that they would strictly be around the rim of the valley. We had a rim of the valley trails committee, did a lot of work identifying places where you might put new trails. And there are a couple that are proposed. The one that starts out at Garston and ends up at the old Thieleman, or what people call the Frank Bogart trailhead. The trails that penetrate like that are non-starters from the standpoint of sheep biology. For instance, there are rams hanging out at the top of Garston because a lot of us have been successful in harassing the dog walkers in spite of the lack of signs. But, you know, that would completely cut them off from the rest of the herd to have dogs all over the place in the center of the, yeah, you know, valley there. So, yeah, I think there's possibility for new trails, but they will be peripheral trails. As you thought, Doug, years ago, some sort of the idea would be that this is okay because we're harassing dogs or sheep where we don't want them to come down too much anyway in certain places.
Yeah, but you know, I used to call them trail fences. You know, that although it appears the sheep are more comfortable coming below the trails, more so at least what I'm starting to see. You know, the Goat Trails area, you know, you've got a big chunk of Indian land, you've got a big chunk of private land, and you have to go through the private land to really get to the BLM land. So that particular area is difficult. And the idea of trying to do something over connecting Garston to Thieleman to possibly allow dogs was, I think, the Western Valley Hillside Trail that people seem to generally agree upon. The Goat Trails, just until Jim's able to acquire the Palm Hills property, you're always gonna have to deal with that property owner.
Yeah.
That's a hint.
The problem, The problem also sending dogs up onto the goat trails is that they usually continue on down into Eagle Canyon and possibly up to Murray Peak. And I have seen sheep down in Eagle Canyon itself, or they continue to the east, heading up towards Smoketree Mountain and the trail system over there where there are bighorn as well. So they really, you know, even if you put up signs at the end of the, where the goat trails kind of end, people are going to proceed beyond the boundaries.
Yeah. There's no question that we'd be concerned about, you know, dogs encroaching up onto the Murray Peak area. That's pretty scary on a horse. Bikes are scary enough.
Hi, this is Alicia. I have a general question. I spent most of my personal time in Imperial County around the Salton Sea, and now I live in Yucca. So do I work in Palm Springs? I don't really hike down there, and haven't really had time because of the pandemic over the last year. But I noticed even on the community Facebook group for Yucca Valley, which even our mayor commented on, it was a post asking for dog-friendly trails. And just the amount of genuine, misinformation. Like many, many people thought Big Morongo is open to dogs. Like many people thought that. Is there a resource that, and I think Rich was talking about this, he spoke to this, a resource that's pretty easily accessible through a Google search if you typed in dog-friendly trails that explicitly states which trails are and even maps the explicit routes? Is that available? So I think what comes up is the Visit Palm Springs municipal page. And it has a list, some paragraphs, but is there something that has maps on it and explicit routes of where exactly they're allowed?
So Alicia, we had worked with the Visit Palm Springs folks to try to get those maps up there. The idea was it would have to be, so we wanted it to be a living map or some kind of ArcGIS back situation where they would be able to download like an Avenza map or something from that. It didn't seem to come to fruition in that way. I don't know if the team fell apart at Visit Palm Springs, but the Palm Springs Visitor Center put out the trailhead, the signs that we gave them, but they didn't really get the map up and going. One of the ideas that we have with the Jim, I'm going to get this wrong, Desert and Mountains Recreation and Conservation Authority, something close.
That's right, you got it.
is that we would have a living map there and that information available for folks, so you would just be able to point to it and say, there it is, including dog-friendly trails in the valley. I don't think our situation would go up into the Morongo Valley, but we should probably have that information for Santa Snow as well. So I would like to see it easily accessible. Does anybody know if there's anything currently accessible that is anything like that?
Danny, is that a characteristic that you're working on with the mapping that you're doing?
No, I'm not doing that with my mapping, but I know working with Jahada, who manages Sand and Snow with the Forest Service, she is working on a map publication that I know includes some roads and other recreational avenues available to people to enjoy and recreate in Sand and Snow. I haven't seen that for a while, but I know that was getting nearer to finalization to have that resource developed. So. I do believe that included a little bit with some places with hiking trailheads, and it may allude to stuff, anything with maybe like dogs or kind of safety, general things that we usually put on there. So I'll follow up with Jahada and see if I can get some information on that for the next one.
That'd be great.
Thank you. Yeah, I know that from my time managing wildlife refuges, there's a huge faction of people who are quite aware of the regulations and they just don't care, as a few of y'all spoke to. But I'm also seeing a lot of people just don't know. They don't even understand land designations and what the different land means, land ownership, you know. A lot of people just don't know how it works as well. So having something explicitly ready for, I'm going to say the lowest common denominator, but just something easy. Something easy, all in one place, mapped out visually, might help, you know, the common member of the public.
Yeah, because they'll just pass the signs and say, oh, I didn't see those signs. In fact, there was a comment, Alicia, on that page that said, oh man, I walked right past the signs and I didn't realize that they were there. And when somebody stopped me and told me they were there, I said, oh man, I didn't see those signs. I won't bring my dog back. I'm like, how do you not see the signs? I guess I'm focused on birds and wildlife, but maybe I just more observant than the average person. But
I think we do have to, you know, take a look at some of the trailheads. There are too many, there's too much communication going on to get the very fundamental basic information to people. And we forget they're just not information kiosks. They just become clutter when you have, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 messages for people.
Yeah, there's, I'm gonna get back to that. And I just wanna make sure that before we move on from dogs, I have a request that was sent to me by Dan Casing from a citizen about one of the sign areas. So is there any other information about dogs? Okay, then we'll move on to Long Canyon. Jim, did you want to give up an update for Long Canyon? I am sorry, my cat just really wants into the room. So she's crying, and if you hear it, my apologies.
Let her in, let her in.
And not much of an update. We sort of postponed our trail work with the Friends and some of the planning work because of the COVID stay-at-home order, but we imagine picking that up back around the 1st of February. So should have more on that at the next meeting.
So the trailhead is complete or not complete at this point? It's not complete, right?
Not complete. I mean, there's a parking lot there, and if you know where the trail is, you can use it. But right. No, it's not complete. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the other update I have, I guess, for that is we have a new law enforcement agreement with Desert Hot Springs, the city of Desert Hot Springs. And this will cover Long Canyon and Big Morongo Canyon to try to dissuade some of the illegal use that's going on in those areas, as well as our other conservation areas within Desert Hot Springs and actually adjacent to Desert Hot Springs, such as Circle B and Willow Hole. A lot of OHV use out there, a lot of dumping, a lot of illegal activity and shooting. So we are now have them on contract to work with us to spend a certain number of hours every month monitoring our lands and trying to give citations out to folks that they catch doing weird things. And hopefully that'll try to dissuade some of that activity. But like I said, that's Long Canyon and Big Morongo Canyon. And unfortunately, that doesn't include Kim Nickel Trail area, which has just been torn up by all of the OHVers out there. So there's not even so much the dumping issue, but the fact that there's been no response from a lot of the law enforcement during these COVID times. They've only been coming out on essential calls. And so they're not seeing OHVs as essential calls. And these people are taking that and running with it. So we are hoping to get the Sheriff's Department in on monitoring some of our lands that are in Santa Snow and outside of like Sky Valley areas in the southern parts of entrance into Joshua Tree, because that also has had its problems. But that will be probably coming up in our next CVCC, either the March or April meeting. The one with Desert Hot Springs just passed. So look for hopefully some more police presence in those areas, which will be good for Long Canyon. I think if we can get some enforcement up there, we'll get a lot less issues with that. And this started back in February, right before the pandemic closed down. We had a meeting with the park and the BLM officers and law enforcement trying to figure out how exactly we would do how would we start to take control of some of the incursion into wilderness that we've been seeing, the people with off-road vehicles going through fencing that we put up, and all of that, and of course the burned out cars and shooting that goes on just adjacent to the city there. So that's where it started. So hopefully the park's not on right now, but they were also part of that conversation, and they were going to start sending law enforcement down every weekend. But because of the pandemic, I'm not sure that ever came to fruition. So again, they were only, everybody that I've talked to in law enforcement has said it's only been essential calls mostly. So that's all I have for Long Canyon. Did you want to add anything, Jim?
No.
No. Okay. And also the signage out there, do we have a update on the signage program? I know you had said maybe next meeting, but.
Yeah.
I can comment on that if you want.
Sure.
Gordon. No, I haven't heard. I've asked and haven't heard. I mean, the design was supposed to be in December 1st, then January 15th. Haven't heard back what the status is. So, I mean, we don't have anything unless, Gordon, you know of something.
No, when it comes to sign, you're talking about Long Canyon still, right?
No, we were talking, I think, weren't you talking about the conservation by design?
Yeah, the trailhead, the conservation by design signs.
Okay, I don't know anything.
We're still waiting on them.
What were you going to say, Gordon? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to mention, I mentioned to Jim earlier, on Long Canyon on the south side, several of us put up some confidence signs from the dirt road, from the water district up to the canyon. We kind of created a little walking trail up there with confidence signs. So that's a start on it. There's still no trailhead sign, though, which is pretty much needed there. But that's the only thing I was going to say. We did install some confidence signs and kind of established a walking trail from the established road up into the canyon. So there is a start on it there.
Well, it's good to hear. I'm hoping that we can get the rest of it done, or at least get that design in so that I can start printing signs for conservation areas as well. So. Anything else on Long Canyon or the North County trails that you want to speak on? Okay, with that, we'll move to, I guess, trail research, the Recreation and Peninsular Bighorn Sheep Study. Dr. Longshore. Kathy, are you there?
I am muted, so I unmuted myself. That helped. So, let's see. Okay, so the first thing you might notice, to extend this project a couple months, and that is because both Dr. Yi and Chris Lowry, who are running the models, one of their parents each died. And so they went on leave, each of them. Julie's lost her dad in, I think, September, and Chris lost his mom in November. So things slowed down yet again, but we're running models. And so we hope to be all finished by the end of February. The models are complex and there are many of them. So that's about all I can say. I can't give you any results yet because we need to have everything all together completed before we actually say anything about what we're finding. But they are chunking along. It's just not as fast as normal. For instance, we're not allowed to be in our office today and yesterday because of potential issues. And Chris needs the computer in our office. So just little things like that slow us down, but we're still planning on getting it done by February, the end of February.
Katie, you mentioned You mentioned that the draft reports, once it gets issued.
Say that again.
So when I thought it was on the, I didn't realize it got pushed, and I was thinking that the draft report was already out. So I had contacted Katie on getting a copy of the draft, and she indicated as soon as it is done, I guess it's going to go out to all members of the Trails Management Subcommittee. Is that right? Electronic version, not a hard copy.
Yes, the draft, you betcha.
Okay, okay.
Right, right. Yep, you guys will definitely, because you're part of this, will be able to put your input in, read the draft through before we get the final, because we have to have it reviewed anyway. Peer review through USGS is really important. So that will be happening, but you guys will definitely be the first to get your hands on that draft. Kathleen, of course. So yeah, that's pretty much all I have.
Okay, Kathy. Hopefully you'll be, well, I guess by March, which is the next meeting for this group, we'll see the draft probably before then, Rich, and then, you know, by March we can discuss or do as we wish, so.
And yeah, I can decipher anything that you have questions about or whatever on the March meeting.
And it is a draft, right? So, I mean, if we we go through, we say, well, what about this? And we're confused on this point or whatever. We can work with you on that, right?
You bet.
Okay.
Yeah, the final publication for USGS usually doesn't come out till several months after the draft is reviewed and approved, I guess. So
2024, right. 2025.
No, no, not that late. Not far. No, 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 no. I won't even be here then.
So it's a scientific review, and you know, we try to get our comments in within a certain time period so that that they can go back and do the review. So
yes, we need two scientific reviews on it. And your review before it's completed.
Is Amy going to get a chance to take a look at it too? Because I'd really like to hear from Amy on the results and whatever the, you know, the draft conclusions and so forth.
Yes, Amy certainly can have a copy.
Okay. Say
that again, Amy.
I said, Kathy, I owe you a phone call anyways. I've been remiss in getting back to you about that LAM information, so I need to do that and see if I can help you. Sorry.
We just, we kind of moved on. We had to because we had to get the models done. So if we continue, then we can work on it, okay? But, you know, we could just have a little conversation because that information is might be useful for you guys later or whenever. So.
Yep.
Just the methods and what we did. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Amy. Amy, I don't know if you can hear me or not. This is Andy Hollinger. Just letting you know that I figured out a way to Zoom with you guys and tell Doug Evans that the old man figured it out.
Well, he's seeing you there too.
You know, we don't call Doug the old man anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm saying you call me the old man.
Oh,
I thought you were a dinosaur, Andy, and you couldn't figure this out.
Well, I don't know if I have figured it out, but hopefully you can see me, and I'm here to participate.
Could you move the camera about 3 feet to the left so we can't see you?
Yeah.
Thanks for connecting, Andy.
Okay.
So are there any other questions for Kathy?
I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
My recollection is the last meeting we had talked about the data hadn't really been fully collected and that this would be a working draft. And now I'm hearing peer review, noticing. Can you refresh my memory on what this draft is and how complete will it be?
Well, this draft will be the first results from all the data that we had when we started the analysis.
Right.
it doesn't mean that the project is, I mean, if, you know, we decide to go further and do further analysis, but we have to have a report for this part of the project. And that's what this draft will be, is the report of the data that we had to start with. And you know, at the time that we started the analyses, because these analyses take for a very long time. So we just couldn't wait for people to like come up with data that they promised and we never ended up with. So things could change if we want to add data in later after we get the report done and rerun some analyses. We could do that. But we needed to get something out that looked at all the data that we had, just because, you know, it's the end of this part of the project.
Yeah, I kind of understand that.
Go ahead. Well, I'm sorry, but we need something to start with so we can look at what we have and say, okay, this is what we need to move forward, or this is what you need to move
forward. Okay, so the draft will have a discussion of the gaps in the data.
Yes.
And whether or not the data is robust enough to make a scientific judgment on what the effect truly is relative to recreational use of trails.
Yes, and we have a lot of data. So okay. There's a lot of sheep data. There's a lot of, so what we're gonna need is more advanced people use at the trail. So we're gonna need more eventually. And to ask specific questions, this will give us a general idea of what's going on and what has gone on, because we're looking at historically how things have changed, how habitat use has changed. This will give us just something baseline to look at. And then from there we can say, okay, we need data to know about this trail that was closed or not closed, and just specifics. If you and even if you want to decide to close the trail that looks like it's being impacted, and you know, you, this will give you information about that.
Any other questions? Doug?
No, I got an answer. I'm concerned with the last comment.
You know, tell me what your concern is, please.
The concern is you've talked about you're doing this report with the data that you have, and you didn't get all that was promised. And then you summed it up that we'll have enough data to close a trail if you want to.
Well, no, we're not going to have enough data to close the trail.
I misunderstood what you said.
Yes, we're not going to tell you to close the trail. We're going to say, this is what we find as far as sheep use. And if you're interested in looking at more, we're even looking at specific trails to see whether sheep are avoiding areas around specific trails. That information gives you, that we give to you, lets you decide what needs to be done. We're just giving you our results, and we do, the only data that we are missing was a part, a bit of that, the trail you, or the counter data. And we can add that in later. I don't know if it will change anything, but that's it. So we're not telling you anything. We're not telling you closed trails. We're not telling you open trails. We're just saying, this is what sheep are doing now, what they did in the past, what they're doing now, and how they're doing it in relation to the trails. And we're telling you that either they're avoiding habitat because this is good sheep habitat and they're not down there anymore, or maybe they were historically, or that's not happening. That's the information that we're giving you.
Okay.
We're not giving you any management recommendations. It's your stuff. I mean, if you guys want to say we suggest this and this, we can, but that's not our job. Our job is just to give you the results of the scientific study.
All right, thank you.
My only concern is the data, if the data is incomplete, we're lacking information that we need to make judgments about the extension or the modification of trail use. But we'll just have to wait and see what it says.
Yeah, it's just a couple months. And yeah, let's just see what we have and then we can go from there. We will always need more trail counter data with, I mean, if any, whenever you're gonna make decisions, you're gonna need that trail counter data. So I'm waiting for the results. So Julie, our statistician, and Chris, they're working those models. I'm waiting for the results of the models so we can just at least start from there.
So one of the things we have discussed is to maybe do a larger study as well in La Quinta. I'm not sure, Amy, maybe you have an idea because you were probably there with the collaring this fall, how many you were collared. I think we provided, I'm gonna say 10 to 12 collars and data plans for CDFW. So go ahead.
Yeah, you guys put on 15, there were 15 collars put on in the La Quinta. Most of those actually were on ewes that are using the golf courses. So until the fence goes up, they're not gonna show you anything relative to trails. They're just gonna show you that they're down in the homes on the golf courses. There's only a couple ewes that are really kind of in the backcountry in La Quinta right now of those new collared sheep, unfortunately.
Okay, that'd be interesting to look at the data as it's coming in then. We did have ewes that were sitting on the golf course that actually moved quite a bit through some of our trail country. That being said, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, were letting me know that the Lake Cahuilla the county park, is going to be closed. Mm-hmm. So, and I wasn't quite sure how that would affect the Cove to Lake Trail. Is that going to affect access, do you guys think, and how people access the eastern part of that?
Wait, do they know it's going to be closed? Because I thought it was in the paper that their lease was up in March and the county was trying to renew their lease with the water district.
As far as I understand, Alicia, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that they had told us that they were closing the area.
I'll have to pull up the email again, which I can in a second, but from the way it read, it sounded like it was closed. And I'm assuming it didn't specify if it was permanently or because of the pandemic. I can pull the email up.
Well, it's open now. I know that.
Well, it was concern over some sort of crustacean getting into the water of the in the lake, I believe, and that somehow the use by the public was exacerbating the problem. In terms of the Cove to Lake Trail, it just means that we don't have a nice terminus or a resting place before you turn around and come back to the cove. I assume the use of the trail will continue to be as dramatic as it is now, which is a lot. So if they're going to have to really put up, we're going to need people fence to keep them out of the Lake Cahuilla area to stop them from, you know, climbing under and over and around fences to get in there to the grassy area. Only to find that the restrooms are locked up. But, you know, I think it really won't change the use of the trail that dramatically.
That's good to hear. I was just wondering, and that, you know, that particular trail on the east end, I would imagine if people are driving up there and they want to park and such and find it a bit more complicated if the park is closed, so. Well, that's, I guess, any more questions for Dr. Longshore before I move on? Thank you, Kathy, for all your work. And I'm so sorry your team has gone through everything, it seems, with the study.
Oh, everyone has. I mean, it's just the sign of the times.
Thanks, yeah, Kathy. I'd really like to try to expand the study later on, but I'm not sure what the capacity will be to do that, and hopefully we can. That would be awesome to expand it into the La Quinta area. So if you're interested, we can start talking about that after your report comes out.
Yeah, let's see what the results say.
So
yeah.
one of the issues, not just about what to do with the trails as a result of the sheep interaction with humans or trail users, but one of the issues is whether or not there's information in the research that will help with putting together a plan so that the bighorn sheep can be downlisted. Because in order to downlist the bighorn sheep, if they qualify for other reasons, one of the reasons or one of the things that's needed is a management plan. And Kathy, do you, just based on where you are right now with the study, do you see information that's going to be useful for input into a management plan that could be submitted for downlisting?
Yeah, because it will tell us whether sheep, will know whether sheep have changed their habitat use, how they've adapted, and by changing your habitat use. And it could be that they haven't changed, they're not avoiding particular areas, but they are in areas that are maybe steeper or more rugged in, okay, you know, where trails are have greater use. So we'll be able to I think we'll have some pretty good information about how the habitat's being used and in relation to trails. So, yeah. But the thing I can't tell you is what trail and how they're actually, how they've actually changed their habitat use and whether they, or maybe they haven't changed habitat use.
Well, so, and maybe that's where the future research can be focused. So it can be culled down into something that's going to be a little less expensive to do, but focused on a unique issue that is necessary, yeah, to address.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is after we get an idea of what's going on for the trails themselves and how sheep are behaving, then we can look and see if there are issues that we need to focus on or use specific things that will impact them being downlisted. I mean, that's what we really need to do then.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, this, it's not like this project isn't going to be useful. It absolutely is. We have so much data. That's part of the problem, is that there's a ton of sheep data. And it's just, you know, we have a ton, many, many models that are being run, and they're very complex because they're logistic aggression models, and we're using AIC, which means you run a number of those models for each trail with different habitat variables, and you see which ones are important in sheep habitat use. And so each trail, say you're looking at one trail, you have to run a number of models just to hone down the variables, the habitat variables that are important for those, for that, those animals. So just trying to decipher it all is going to be pretty interesting.
Thank you, Kathy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you being here, Kathy, for all of the questions. It's always a lot more informative when you're here to discuss these issues, and I appreciate your time. I think we can probably move on now. If there's any other questions, I think most of those will be resolved once you see the draft report. So,
good.
Yep. All right.
I'm good.
Thank you. So I just on our management issues, the safety and signage needs, I just wanted to circle back. So the email from Dan Kasang that we got was basically about, the South Licking Trail off Mesquite, and that the signs seemed to be a little bit further off than where they thought they should go, that they thought people might have more compliance. And I just want to come back to Doug's point on some of these areas. You know, there's a number of different signage signage issues. I guess there's too many signs, too many ways to look. And so if there's a way that we can try to consolidate that in some areas, as I'm going to be printing out conservation area signs and large trailhead signs, I think it's probably at this point, if we could work with the cities or the monument to get some of that stuff consolidated and make it easier for folks to comply. That might be a good—
just say, we fixed that one on Mesquite and Licking Trail as well. That is, okay. That is true. That sign was in a horrible area and it's better now. Thanks to Scott.
No. The sign at the end of, on Mesquite, at the Mesquite Trailhead, is still angled in such a way that people walk by it without seeing that, because they're seeing the main trailhead sign with the map on it, and the dog signs are angled 90 degrees awkward on that one.
Ah, okay. Good to know. I thought that one was fixed.
So there, people are still walking right by the no dog sign without seeing it. Whereas over here on the South Lichen Trailhead, there the signs are, you know, well visible and you walk right into them.
So is there a way that you guys would recommend for us? I mean, other than putting out more no dog signs, is there a way to consolidate those trailhead information signs to, I don't know, include a large no dogs, or put the no dogs next to the trail signs? What do you think?
I've thought putting a no dog sticker on the trailhead map sign would help, because it doesn't state anything on there about not having dogs, unfortunately.
I know at one point we discussed, and this was when Dan was still with us, and maybe Danny, if this is your area now, is she still here? No, I think we lost her. But if we could update a lot of those trailhead signs to include, international no dog right there on the sign. I don't know if that's going to help, but I think what our idea was originally was to get a lot of these coordinated so that they looked visually the same to people, and they could take the easier cues of, this is the safety information, this is the trailhead map, and this is the interpretive information. It was originally going to be the BLM look and feel. I think we've moved away from that a bit, but in a similar sense as any reserve, you know, they're always pretty much the same because of the way people look. So that's why I was waiting by the conservation by design look and trying to understand what they're doing so that we could try to just get these all updated. And I think Jim is on board with that since he's nodding his head.
So. Yeah. I mean, that's becoming a problem, but we're working on it with them. So their lack of response has been a problem, to put it bluntly, but we're working on that with them. Obviously it's a difficult time for a lot of reasons. So hopefully soon.
Okay. Any other safety or signage needs other than the 10 or 20 signs that you want me to get and deliver to you, Jane?
I have a request for a sign on the east end of the Henderson Trail, which I hike every day. And it's a sign is needed where you come out of the wash and you start to go up the incline of the Henderson Trail. There needs to be a no dog sign there. People tend to park over on the Araby Trail Road and then walk through the wash, and they seem to think that there's any signs there. So I'd be happy to install it. I just need to know who to get it from.
Is that still Palm Springs City Limits?
I'm sorry, one more time.
Is that still in the Palm Springs City Limits?
Yes, it is. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, now, you know, I'm assuming, I believe the Palm Canyon Wash is in the city limits, correct?
Yeah, this is the sign we've been talking about earlier that, Andy, we've talked about how to get the signs a little bit easier. earlier in the meeting, and I think we've got a solution for that.
Okay, I'll check with you then.
Yeah, I will. And I will deliver them. Go ahead. Sorry.
Andy, this is Scott. You have my number, and I can help you put those signs in. We can put posts in up there and whatnot.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah, we just need the signs in hand.
As soon as I get them, I'll let Scott know.
Excellent. Thank you.
And I have a quick question regarding signs. We've had a few issues with drones, and I had one of our volunteers start contacting like drone apps to put certain areas that drones are not allowed after having this guy who was chasing the sheep with the drone. How is that being dealt with? I mean, is anyone suggesting to start putting up small no drone signs? Is it not a big problem other places other than here in Palm Springs?
It has been a problem in wilderness, I know for sure. And of course, anybody harassing the sheep is, you know, maybe Alicia could chime in on this, but I'm not sure in other areas if U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has a particular sign that they would use for endangered species in the area, or since Danny's gone, I couldn't say about the monument, but I do know it has been an issue in wilderness areas, and I haven't seen any signs, Jane, not even up here in Joshua Tree.
Yeah, and apparently, I mean, I don't use a drone, so I don't really know that much about them, but apparently people who fly drones, they have to go off of these apps. And apparently the app will tell them if they're allowed or not allowed to fly. Mm. Now, of course, it's like a sign. Some people probably listen or not listen, but it would be great if those wilderness areas were somehow in that app, that it was a no-fly zone.
It's a great point. I will try to follow up on that with Dani. She would certainly have the best information on how we would do that with BLM.
So. Okay, great. Thank you.
Are drones actually allowed in the National Monument?
I don't think so.
I don't think they're allowed in wilderness for sure. I don't know about the National Monument.
They're not allowed in national parks or in wilderness areas.
Right.
Yeah, my understanding is no, they're not allowed in the National Monument. And that was prior to Dani. That was the people telling us that they were not allowed. Because people would fly them like in Dead Indian Canyon right across from the Monument Visitor Center, and they'd call us and they'd tell us that they're not allowed, but we don't have anybody to call. So now that there's a ranger or whatever, you know, they can listen to someone who knows something.
I've never seen a no drone sign at the trailheads, and I'm wondering if maybe that's what we need to add now, is no drones for the trailheads.
Wow. I think it comes back to Alicia's, you know, idea of a lot of those folks don't know either. So, I mean, if there's if we can cut them off at the app, I'm happy to do that. You know,
great. So, the app would be great. I'm just wondering also to educate as people use trails, because some of, you know, having worked with trail ambassadors. You know, we've got 120 trail ambassadors out there, and if they know drones are allowed, they'll let people know if they see somebody with a drone. Same thing happens with the thousands of people that use trails. They see a sign that says no drones in this area. If there's a drone that's flying around, they see the guy flying it. A lot of people go over and say, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a sign down there that says no drones. Just another way of communicating, educating.
It's peer pressure.
I think it's still one of those issues, just like e-bikes, that a lot of federal public lands are still figuring out how to manage. I know Wilderness, which is administered, you know, by different agencies, depending on where it's at, definitely not. But like some Forest Service areas do allow drones under particular circumstances. And even those areas, if they are allowed, there might be times where it's restricted, like during a fire. Where drones can. So it's a lot of information that the agencies themselves are still working out, and it varies depending on which jurisdiction, which piece of public land it's on. And I think that's why there's definitely misinformation for, especially the recreational drone users. Just a lot of misinfo out there. I'm not quite sure what the solution would be but for our area, if there are trails, and places where we know drones aren't supposed to be, signs might be the solution there.
Well, maybe even a simple thing like, you know, a picture of a drone, black drone on white background with a red circle and line through it. You know, just as a simple communication.
Yeah, I think I have seen something like that on Forest Service lands in Arizona and some other places, but
The local tribe also has those signs posted on their property, their hiking properties, which I've also come across people flying drones over the mountain, Tockwitz Ridge, but the actual pilot is down on the street below off of Mesquite and Bilardo flying it from their car. Mm-hmm. And they've been caught flying over into the Indian Reservation, which is a no-no. And then obviously that butts up to the National Monument. So right. We have a bit of a conflict there.
Well, is that something that's, I don't know, CVMC, Jim, is that something that can be paid for through funding just to get those signs?
Yeah.
It would just be stickers, you know, just slap those stickers on the post or yep. something like that.
Exactly. Like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will check with Danny just to make sure, but I think, you know, if we can print off stickers and add them to the signs, I, again, until we consolidate to get new signs, new trailhead signs around, that might be the best means of addressing that. But of course, I think going back to law enforcement, if you have a ranger out there who's actively contacting people and saying no drone, or, you know, why are you flying drones here? That would be very helpful too, because stickers are going to stop some of folks, again, 30%, and then the enforcement is going to stop another 30%. And then there's some kind of engineering that needs to stop that other third. So. Okay. That's good to point out, and I'll certainly follow up with Danny at least on some of that and see if we can get, if we would be able to put those out on at least the BLM signs or some of the trailhead signs. So,
yeah, great.
Anything else for safety and signage needs? Go ahead.
Oh, this isn't safety or signage, but it's the maintenance. What are you guys doing about like graffiti on trails and in general? But there's Gordon. So somebody, a friend of mine pointed out they hiked the Art Smith Trail this past weekend, and someone has painted an arrow on a rock showing where to go for the old Art Smith Trail. And I'm like, just take the rock, but I don't know how big it is. I couldn't tell perspective. But what's being done, if anything, about graffiti? Because there's a ton of it in La Quinta, and then there's some graffiti popping up here and there, you know, locally, like Palm Desert area. Or is anything being done?
I think Gordon was out there and took care of all the La Quinta graffiti about a week ago. Did a great job on it too. And so, just knowing, if you just let Friends of the Desert Mountains know, if you just call and let them know that Gordon, and I'm not going to be here, but I would work with Gordon on it too if I was. But Gordon's been doing a great job on getting rid of the graffiti.
Yeah, we've been out. There's
a ton of it in La Quinta.
Yeah, there's a couple different people out there working independently on that. I know the arrow you're talking about. I can take care of that. That's a pretty simple one up on the Art Smith.
Okay.
We're
here. I'm going to talk to Danny about the... Go ahead. Sorry.
Amy, which La Quinta graffiti? Are you talking about the Bear Creek graffiti?
There's some right before Bear Creek in that little canyon, like on the way to Coyote Canyon, but there's a ton of it north of that in the Bear Creek, or the Wolf Bear, whatever it is, the preserve. When you go back along the north side of the base of the hills there, there's just a ton of it. And there's still spray paint cans. I mean, cans out there. I mean, I picked up a couple, but I need like a whole bag to carry out, you know, all the old cans. They're old. It's not fresh. But there's been a ton of work back there. It's way back, not inaccessible at all, but just it's back a ways. It's not right in view from like the street or something. So
Can you identify a little more closely? Because I'd like to take a look at what you're talking about. What area exactly in La Quinta?
So what's that preserve called? Is it the Bear or Wolf Creek Preserve? What is that preserve on the west side of La Quinta Cove, north of Bear Creek Trail? Well, you know, there's a huge... both of you.
Yeah, but are we talking about which side of the channel are we talking about? The city side or the other side from the monument? Would it be monument land or city land?
I don't know who owns the land, actually. So what I can do is I can mark it on a map and I'll send it to Kathleen and then she can send it to you or something. And I'll circle the area where it is in the preserve. It's on the north side of the preserve at the base of the mountains. And there's just a lot of it back there.
Well, yeah, I have a lot of eyeballs. Hang on, guys. I have Google Earth open. If I share my screen, I can give Amy the ability to point it out. Hang on a second.
Okay. But that other spot, Rich, was down, right before you get to Bear Creek, there's that little offshoot canyon that's like Coyote Creek. Okay, where are we?
Yeah, Gordon got that. He took care of that last week.
Yeah, we did. We did. We call it the Party Cove, right before you head up the steep part of Bear Creek.
Yeah, the grotto.
The grotto, yeah.
Well, it's not actually Bear Creek. It's the canyon before, just north of Bear Creek.
God knows that you should have seen it before when you could drive up there in the good old days. Gordon has done there's probably more paint on those rocks than there.
Yeah, we did the grotto. What we call the grotto, and we did the canyon in back of the grotto.
Okay.
So that was all done about a week, 10 days ago.
Okay, good.
I was there Saturday, and there's a big eyeball down in the canyon, because I was like, what is that thing? And I thought it looked like a hubcap. I was like, how could a hubcap be back here if it is a huge eye?
We're talking about two different places. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Go north, please.
Right in here?
No, north. No, further north. It's like north. Halfway up.
Further north.
And
it's that preserve. It's that preserve.
The Fred Wolf Preserve.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's city land. And.
Okay, sorry, you went too far. Go back to the preserve.
Back down, yeah.
So it's the Fred Wolf Creek Preserve, and it's just the north side of the preserve up against the hills.
Yeah. That's it right there. That's where the graffiti is, right there.
Yeah.
We've got a family that's been using that for graffiti for years, so we need to probably get on that again.
Yeah, so if you follow the base of that northern ridge and just follow the edge back pretty good ways, you can't miss it. I mean, there's just a ton of it back there. And I mean, it was there last year, but this year I found their can stash and took a few but wasn't prepared to take all of them. It's right before that canyon right there where you're on. It's just, you know, to the east a little bit. It might go up that canyon actually, but it's just to the east there on right that here. Face.
Kathleen, could
yeah,
you?
Just to the east, just to the east a little bit more along could you, the base.
Could you pull back a little bit so I can see where it enters, where you get in there?
Well, it's off of the Fred Wolf Nature Reserve or.
I don't know who Fred Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just to the right of that. Just to the right.
Yeah. So any of those city streets right there, I just
in from Chihuahua, is that how you would get in there?
Yeah. Any of those streets. I think Calle Nogales is good because at some point you have to cross the canal or that channel. Yeah. There's some steps you go down and then you go back up the other side and then you can get around to that edge of Toa Slope. And if you follow the Toa Slope, it's an easy path to get back there.
That's a newer area. Gordon and I were thinking you were talking about the grotto, but this is further down, and it's an easier access from the community as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
Yeah, you know, it's been going on for years, and Dan Kassang knew about it, and we've talked about it a couple times. And one of the issues is there's no hiking trail per se in that area, so you're basically scrambling across desert on your own. I think that because of the volume that's in there, it's just a horrendous amount of graffiti that's in there. The decision at the time, not that it's the right one, but the decision at the time was at least to give somebody a place to go to put more graffiti on, and it's going to cover up graffiti that's already there. So rather than try to paint the whole thing, because it really is, it's taken dozens of gallons of paint to cover it up. I think the decision a couple of years ago was just to let it sit and let people get attracted to it. You really don't see it unless you're at the Fred Wolf or Bear Creek or whatever, you know, trailhead. So I don't, that's where we have stood up until now. And Amy, I'm not sure what your thoughts are in terms of what we might do at this point forward in terms of eradicating it, but also then preventing it from coming back.
Well, I don't know. I'm all for, if you guys have the ability to try to eradicate it, then obviously I'm going to be all for that. Maybe it was so old that those people are no longer doing that and it might not come back. Maybe it will. I don't know. But I'd at least try, I guess. It's just such an eyesore. But you're right, there's a lot of it. So I don't know. But I'm for at least trying.
Can you see it from Bear Creek?
No, I mean, I don't know. If you're at the right angle, I guess you would know, but no. Oh, no, not the trail, no.
Not the trailhead. No, the trailhead's way south from there.
No, not the trailhead. Yeah, yeah. The trail.
Just from the trail itself.
You can't see it. No.
No, it's down low, and there's ridges that block it.
Yeah, the only way you can see it is from if you're driving the road along Fred Wolf or Bear Creek. You can see it if you're on that road and looking over in that canyon, or if you're in the Bear Creek Park, you can see it.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of trash out there too, Amy? You said there was paint cans.
Just the spray paint cans. You know, there's just a bunch of those, and I'm sure I did not find all of them, and I didn't get to gather all of them. There might be more elsewhere. I just happened to find one stash, and I like to go back with a bag and grab them, but there's got to be more for as much paint that's on the rocks. But no, not other trash that I noticed.
Amy, is it an issue with the sheep? Is it going to cause any problems with the sheep?
No, it's not a problem with, I mean,
you mean the graffiti? I don't know. It's like, you know, lead poisoning and that kind of stuff.
No, I mean, they shouldn't be licking those rocks like that or, you know, that much or anything, but no, it's just, I don't know. I like our desert natural. So
no, I think we all do. We agree with that.
It bothers me. So that's it. I mean, it's, you know, but if it's graffiti, like in Dead Indian and, I mean, Lower Carrizo, you know, where people are pointing, people are writing on rocks to give directions, that's troublesome because they're not even correct. And then the arrow on the Art Smith Trail pointing to a trail that shouldn't be even existent anymore, you know, that's a concern. But no, this is just obnoxious graffiti that's just an eyesore for a native desert, that's all.
Well, Gordon, sounds like Gordon's going to go take a look so he can get familiar with it.
Okay.
I can get that one at Art Smith pretty easy. And every once in a while, we knock some more rocks down in there at that western end there of that trail. But yeah, there's some pretty industrious people keep opening it up. So.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of regulars that like to hike that. And I just kicked two women out of there the other day that climbed under the fence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's quite pervasive in there.
So is that area is not off limits, or it is off limits, Amy?
The Dead Indian Canyon?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought you were still talking about the wolf.
Oh, no, the Fred Wolf, I don't really know. I mean, there's just free play. I don't know. They're like somebody said there is no real trail. People have just made a trail. They just go where they want.
Right.
Yeah, it's BLM land. So it's cross-country travel, I guess. The reason I was asking was that I've had some success trying to encourage in eco clubs at the schools. I know this year we don't have schools in session, but sometimes getting them to look out after some of these areas. And so maybe in the future, if it's an area that we know it's going to be a problem, we could try to encourage the La Quinta High School Eco Club or others to kind of adopt the area and maybe take hikes out there and go and clean it up regularly. Sometimes I've had success with that strategy in Desert Hot Springs for certain dump areas and for areas where students like to go to tag. So that might be a possibility in the future, but certainly not as a quick success, well, you know, so.
Hi, and she's been wanting to connect us with their eco club or whatever their outdoor club is. So I'm sure that they'd be on board with, you know, helping out with something like that in the future.
Yeah, I mean, just a little place that they could adopt and they can go out there and have a picnic and do some cleanup on the graffiti and pick up the stuff. And if they trash, do it regularly, whatever. Then they stop doing it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
The only other thing is keep Danny Ortiz in the loop. It is Monument Lands.
Yeah. I need to talk to her anyways about dead Indians. So I'll talk to her about this as well. And then I guess Gordon can talk to her too.
Okay, good.
I'm gonna check it out.
Any other maintenance?
A couple of cans of blue. I think it needs more blue.
Yeah.
There's a lot of eyeballs back there. It's a little disconcerting. A lot of eyes.
I am trying to open this and can I stop sharing now, or does anybody need the map for anything else?
No.
Okay.
I am going to have to go on to another important Zoom meeting.
Yes, I also have to wrap it up, guys. So if the one thing that I wanted to say, and thank you guys for being here, but just real quick, I have... we are working on a new ArcGIS dashboard for the CVCC, and it will have all of the trails information up on our new website. So that'd be helpful. And unfortunately, I can't, we're working on making like a story map so that we would have some information for the trails up there. It's not as complicated and integral as something like the other maps, the Aventa maps that we were talking about before, but at least it'd be a living map that you can link to and put on your website. That'd be nice. And so at least, you know, some of that data would be available for you guys soon. So okay. We also have a volunteer maintenance folks who will be actually walking our trailheads and identifying issues directly into our database. So that might be something that Friends of the Desert Mountains will be able to plug into, especially if you guys have your own GIS account. We can add you as a group member and you guys could use that for signage and safety needs too, or maintenance needs. So that's all I had.
Okay.
All right. Good.
Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you.
I'll see you in March.
Yep. Stay safe. Stay well.
Bye-bye.
Stay safe.
Good thing, everybody. Travel safe, Rich.
Thanks.
Thank you, Gordon.
Amy, bye.
Andy, bye. Everybody.
Nice to see you guys. Thanks.
Take care. Scott,
all you. Bye.